Beyond Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your bonus episode for Friday, October 5th. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast. You know me from hosting this podcast for the past year. We're almost up on 1 year of me hosting the podcast, and I want to thank you guys for sticking with it. As you know from the loyal listening that you've done over the past year, it's usually about a four-day-a-week podcast. But today, on Friday, we're going to throw out a little bonus episode because I have some content that I might as well throw at you guys. The first bit of it will be the Pistons preview clip that I did for the Locked On NBA show. This will be coming out to the national general public in about a week or so, but I wanted to give you guys the first dibs at listening to it. David Locke, the founder of the podcast, gave me some prompts to talk about the Pistons. Also, after that, we had Chris Manning of Locked On Cavs on earlier this week. After we taped that for our show, we also did an interview where he basically interviewed me for Locked On Cavs, and they'll put that out sometime soon where we were talking about the Pistons. And I figured you guys might want to get one more inkling of me talking about the Pistons. I knew that. I know I do that every day, but as far as my overall thoughts going into this season, I wanted to throw that out there for you guys too. But give me a follow at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, and then another underscore after that. That's the Twitter account for my personal one. Got all sorts of stuff that you can check out during games and all over the place there. Also, the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check me out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook as well. So we got those two things for you that I'm going to share. And I want to thank you guys for sticking with us through the offseason and getting to the first part of the season. I'm very happy with the numbers, so you guys must be spreading the word about the podcast. Continue doing that, please. And also, I have a nice treat for those of you who get to the end of this bonus podcast. I got a nice thing that you guys should listen to at the very end. The loyal listeners are going to eat up this opportunity that I'm giving you guys here. So stay to the end of this podcast, and I'm going to tell you about an exciting thing that we're doing for you guys here this weekend. So without further ado, here's the season preview of me talking about the Pistons for the Locked On NBA podcast. What is happening? This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast. And look, while I have the attention of sports fans around the world, I just want to say this. These are bad times for your friends who root for Detroit sports. This is a proud sports town that is just living in agony right now. The Pistons, you know the Pistons, very uninteresting, certainly not a championship contender, right in the middle of NBA mediocrity right now. This is the best sports situation of any of the four major Detroit sports professional teams. This is the high mark. I know that every fan base thinks that they're the tortured one sometimes, but it's almost worse when it's a town that's used to winning, to competing for titles, to winning titles, and it's going through this muck that we're going through right now for a decade or so. It just feels brutal. The Tigers' terrible season just ended. The Pistons and the Red Wings are starting seasons that appear to be going nowhere before they start. The Detroit Lions are the Detroit Lions. It's just brutal. So if you have a Detroit sports fan in your life, maybe, I don't know, send a card, give a hug, whatever you can think of to brighten their day, they could certainly use it. Going through the bullet points here provided by the Locked On NBA guys, the two or three biggest storylines going into camp for the Pistons, Dwayne Casey was hired as the new head coach after Stan Van Gundy was fired by owner Tom Gores. In addition, Ed Stefanski comes over from Memphis to direct an eclectic front office, although he doesn't really have a title. He's obviously running the show. He's not the general manager or the team president yet. He's the special advisor to owner Tom Gores. Casey's hire brings a lot of questions, although in Pistons fandom, everyone seems pretty excited to bring the reigning coach of the year on board, as they should be. But how will he get Andre Drummond and Blake Griffin to fit cohesively on the roster, on the court at the same time? Also, the Pistons had a little bit of a minor upgrade on the margins with the wing positions, adding Glenn Robinson III in free agency, and also Bruce Brown and Khyree Thomas, in addition to some veteran pickups in free agency of Zaza Pachulia in the front court and also Jose Calderon in the backcourt. The other big story that's sweeping Pistons Nation right now, Andre Drummond, yes, two-time All-Star Andre Drummond, known most for rebounding and putbacks and finishing alley-oops, is working on shooting three-pointers. The big man spent a lot of the offseason working on long-range jump shots. That's the storyline around the Pistons in a lot of days, and watching the Oklahoma City broadcast. Apparently they hadn't heard about it. So if you're hearing about the Pistons right now for the first time this offseason, Andre Drummond might be throwing up three-pointers, and it was ugly in the first preseason game. We will see how this transpires as the season opener nears October 17th against the Brooklyn Nets. So that's what's going on with Pistons fans right now, and again, another reason to maybe send a hug the way to your favorite Detroiter. For the best-case scenario, and I'll let you guys behind the curtain a little bit here, when David Locke, the founder and Locked On Jazz broadcaster, the guy that we all love as a boss here on the Locked On Network, when he sent along these prompts for the previews, he mentioned, don't stay healthy. Of course, the best case scenario is stay healthy. The worst case scenario would be injuries. But I'll tell you this, with the Detroit Pistons, you could probably make an exception and let it slide, being that the fortunes of the franchise right now are tied with Reggie Jackson, Blake Griffin, two guys who haven't stayed on the court much over these last few years. But be that as it may, I will say that Luke Kennard and Stanley Johnson taking large steps forward in development, rookie Bruce Brown supplanting Ish Smith as the backup point guard, playing real minutes this year as a defensive disruptor in the backcourt, and yes, even Henry Ellenson and John Lure stepping up as quality depth in the front court. If all those things happen, and health for Blake and Reggie, this could be a team that ends up competing for home court advantage in the first round in a weak Eastern Conference. That's a lot of fairly unreasonable asks. As far as worst case scenario, if Drummond continues to get neutered and the acquisition of Blake Griffin from the trade deadline last year continues to hurt the development of Andre, the things that he added to his game last year, the ability to play in the high post, if Drummond just is expected to be just a rim runner and rim protector, which he hasn't really been throughout his career so far, then that would really be a thing that hurts the development of the 25-year-old. So Dwayne Casey's got to figure out a way to have those guys coexist. The player most likely to be thought differently at the end of the season, I'm going to go with Reggie Bullock. He's entering free agency next year, and with another solid year as a good 3-and-D guy, he will be sought over by teams around the league looking for a cheap fix as far as a possible starting player with even top teams that, you know, he would be probably the fifth starter on a very good team, but a guy you could stick in the starting lineup and not have too much of a problem with. The player whose career trajectory is most impacted this season, either good or bad, there are a lot of Pistons fans that are really excited about Luke Kennard. He was an okay player as a rookie. He has a chance to be a solidly good player, but not a huge ceiling or anything. But that's the hope that we're resorting to as Pistons fans right now, that Luke Kennard turns into Larry freaking Bird or something like that. But along those lines, I will say that Stanley Johnson is the player whose career trajectory is most impacted this season. He's entering restricted free agency in year four next summer, and it looks like he's in great shape from the preseason so far, as you would expect with a guy in the contract year. So I'll say that good things could be coming for Stanley Johnson, especially the big question being whether he can consistently knock down open three-pointers and whether he becomes a consistent offensive player for the Pistons, adding to what is usually a pretty strong defensive game for him. Rookies that will have an impact and how much, there's not much. The Pistons had to trade their first-round draft pick in the Blake Griffin deal, ended up with trading for a second-round pick from the Philadelphia 76ers, so got Bruce Brown and Kyrie Thomas, a couple of shooting guards. Bruce Brown could be more of a point guard in the NBA as time goes on, but a couple of pretty nice prospects that in most years, a little bit less of a deep draft, those guys might have been end of first round picks. So the Pistons feel pretty good about a couple of prospects there with Kyrie Thomas, the shooter from Creighton, who's a very good defensive player, and Bruce Brown out of Miami as well. My best guess on how this season ends, I think that they're going to get 40 wins, be just under 500 for the season, get the 7th seed in the Eastern Conference right over the Miami Heat and just below the teams that everyone else is picking in the top 6 in the Eastern Conference. I think that the Pistons get bounced in the first round in 5 games by the Philadelphia 76ers, which sounds like a beating, a 5-game series, and it will be. But importantly, and it's debatable that this is an important thing, the Pistons will win their first playoff game in more than a decade. Yeah, that's right. The Detroit Pistons, the bad boys, the going to work Pistons, have not won a playoff game since the spring of 2008. So hopefully that is something that gets rectified this season for Dwayne Casey and the Detroit Pistons. This has been your host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, Matt Shook. Find me on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore for that. And enjoy the season, everyone. Yeah!
Hello and welcome to Locked On Cavaliers. I am Chris Manning, your host from ForTheSword.com, SB Nation's Cleveland Cavaliers site. Today, we're going to get to know one of the teams the Cavs are playing this year in the Central Division, one of their division rivals, a team that they have a history with, but it's an interesting time for both teams. Joining me to talk about the Detroit Pistons is the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast. It is Matt Shook. Matt, what's going on?
Chris, how's it going, man?
I'm doing good. So we are very close to basketball season kicking off, and I was on Locked On Pistons. I want to just, before we get into some deep Pistons questions, I want to know what is your just sort of take on this current Cavs reality? Someone who is observing this team, sort of observing what could happen this year. What is like the thing about this team that you just want to see how it turns out this year before sort of evaluating them in a post-LeBron world? What stands out to you as something about the Cavs that from a team that someone who's going to watch them just when they play the Pistons and other times, what stands out to you?
Well, other than Colin Sexton, who I'm really interested to see play in the NBA because I really liked his game at Alabama. I covered him in the McDonald's All-American game in Chicago when he was a high school player. The big question is Kevin Love and what kind of guy is he right now? And it's a lot like Blake Griffin with the Pistons in that you had a guy who was a stat monster and a really good player early in his career and then has continued to be a very good player still, but went through some injuries and now has the big money contract. Love signing the extension this past summer and Griffin the summer previous with the Los Angeles Clippers. And a lot of people around the league are maybe scratching their head a little bit and saying, you know, if Cleveland loses LeBron, then maybe they should have maybe let Kevin Love walk or trade him in the last year of his deal and get as many future assets as they can from him. But if Dan Gilbert and the Cleveland Cavaliers organization wants to stay at that, you know, possibly getting into the playoff level this season, it's going to have to bank on the fact that Kevin Love is the same all-star, the same stats guys that he was in Minnesota. And I know he's not the same guy that he was in Minnesota, was a lot stronger and purely a post player who could step out and hit it if he had to back then. But and now the body type is a lot different. He's a lot different of a player, but is he going to be that guy who's very clearly one of the best player on the team, very clearly one of the top front court players in the Eastern Conference? Is he that guy? And I don't know. I'm interested to see it. I've always liked Kevin Love, and I hope the best for him. Is he that same guy is the big question going into Cleveland season from the outside perspective.
Yeah, I don't think we know that yet. I think it's going to be really interesting. There's so many factors that contribute to that we need to see how it plays out and I think we need like 10, 20 games of data for me to really sort of have an idea. But I think we're going to get some takes early on in the year. But looking at this Pistons team, they obviously make coaching changes this summer. Tell me if I'm wrong, not a lot of other big moves this summer. Where do they stand as we get closer to the season actually starting? Where do you think the Pistons stand? What are you looking at in terms of this team kicking off its season? What are you expecting this year?
Well, it's October. It's early October. And I think unless you've got one of the five or six teams that are probably still tanking going into this season, I think as a fan base and as a guy who's going to be hosting podcasts every day about this team going forward, at least you got to have a little bit of optimism, at least this time of year. The Pistons started off the season so well last year, first 20, 25 games or so, make the fall off. Reggie Jackson gets hurt. They make the big trade. So as far as like where the fan base is at right now, there is a significant amount of fans that have completely fallen off the Pistons. You know, Detroit's a nice sports city. The teams are really down right now, but it's been over 10 years before this team's been a, you know, a quote unquote championship contender. And the going to work here the last two or three years, you were probably a fake contender even in that sense. And it's rare for this franchise to have taken the downturn that they have for so long after, you know, really a few years before the Bad Boys started winning titles. They've been consistently pretty good, or at least pretty interesting for all those years. And now I think with Dwayne Casey coming in, Blake Griffin spending his first full season in Detroit, at least you have that interesting. And then you throw Andre Drummond, a two-time All-Star already, who's just turned 25. Another interesting piece there. But like you asked about the offseason, when you have Blake Griffin, when you have Andre Drummond, when you have Reggie Jackson making the money that they make, there's just not a lot of salary cap room. They had to trade the first-round pick to get Blake Griffin. So they ended up with two second-round picks, ended up drafting Bruce Brown and Kyrie Thomas with those two wings that they see a lot of upside there that could contribute a little bit as rookies. But as far as free agent pickups, they brought in Glenn Robinson III from the former University of Michigan player from the Pacers in a free agent move, and then pretty much got rid of a couple of bottom of the roster guys, young guys, and Eric Moreland and Dwight Bikes, and replaced them with veterans, Jose Calderon, who you guys are very familiar with down in Cleveland, and then Zaza Pachulia from Golden State. So not a lot of big moves, but some names we've heard of and guys that Pistons fans are familiar with, but not guys that you expect to make huge impacts with this team this year.
Look, I love Jose Calderon, and I can tell you that, like, even though his on-off numbers can be weird and you can just objectively watch him defend and you're just like, this guy can't play in the NBA anymore. The guy helps teams because he passes the ball, he moves the ball, he plays smart, doesn't really make mistakes, and he's a good 3-point shooter. I like that guy. So what you full first full year of Blake in a Dwayne Casey system, what are you expecting out of that? And has your opinion of that deal changed at all since it originally went down? Are you higher on it? Or are you more concerned about it?
I liked it. I liked the deal just because it's not easy for Detroit to use that cap space to attract free agents. We've seen that across the board, unless you're Mike Ilitch dumping money at Prince Fielders of the world and whatnot in a salary cap league. It's just not possible to get those kind of free agents. So Detroit has to kind of find other ways to make it happen. A lot of diamonds in the rough type of things. And that's what they try to do with Reggie Jackson. Give the guy the ball who hasn't had the opportunity to do it, but has flash talent. Now, Reggie Jackson's injuries these past few years have hampered any kind of optimism that you might have had about him becoming a fringe star in the NBA or anything like that. But as far as the deal, like I said, I like it just because it makes the team a little bit more interesting. In the Eastern Conference, as you know, it's just not very strong right now. The Pistons could have a mediocre season and possibly get that eighth seed. It's certainly not guaranteed that the Pistons are a playoff team this year, but you know, the upside is that maybe this is possibly a team that gets into the sixth spot or something like that in the Eastern Conference, and the downside being maybe 10th, a couple spots out. But even a mediocre year, 3 or 4 games under 500, and you could still be a playoff team at that eighth seed. But Blake Griffin's role under Dwayne Casey in a full season is something that we're going to all figure out. Dwayne Casey's talked about running the offense through Blake. He's obviously the most talented offensive player on the Pistons, and that's what we kind of saw from Stan Van Gundy at the end of last season. The problem was the offense was being run in the high post through Andre Drummond early in the season when they were having their most success, and Andre Drummond was taking his game through a whole new level. The assist numbers were way up from his entire career. He was doing a really good job as kind of a dribble handoff slash finding cutters as a hub of the offense. And then when you have Blake Griffin come in and do that, and probably even do that a little bit better because he's a little bit of a jump, turning himself into a little bit of a jump shooter and maybe more of a drive and kick player than Andre Drummond will ever be. But then what does that mean for Andre Drummond? Does that just make him a rim runner and basically take away all that offensive things that he's added to that game and pretty much take that role away from him? So that's the big question. How do you make those two guys fit when their strengths in some ways kind of line up together? And will Andre Drummond be able to take maybe some of that energy and some of the things that he had to do offensively and throw that energy into becoming a much more above average defensive player and a rim protector, which is what really the Pistons need him to be if their defense is going to take a step forward.
What are you expecting out of Dwayne? And based on what he said so far, based on sort of what has been out there about what he's going to do with this group, like what are your feelings about him as replacing Stan Van Gundy?
I think that one of the things that they talk about is giving the young players a lot more leash. You're letting them out there and letting them make mistakes. We saw with Toronto that they had a lot of success with that second group that was full of young players like Fred VanVleet and Pascal Siakam as guys that, you know, you maybe never heard of, undrafted type of guys. And they go out there and really have the leeway to make some mistakes. So when you're looking at guys like Stanley Johnson, who's been up and down offensively throughout his career, mostly down, and then Luke Kennard being a young guy too, Henry Ellenson is a young guy who can't really play much defense, but hasn't had the opportunity on the NBA floor to make those mistakes and still know that he has some minutes available. And are there other guys? Is Bruce Brown and Kyrie Thomas ready to make that leap? So I think the young guys really getting a good chance is one thing that we expect to see. And then also, we saw in Toronto that they were willing to put, you know, guys like Kyle Lowry and DeLon Wright on the floor at the same time, you know, point guards that can play together. And so maybe some different lineup combinations. Maybe there's talk of Stanley Johnson being in the post as a defensive player, maybe even a super small ball five at times, throwing Reggie Jackson on the court off the ball a little bit with a guy like Ish Smith running point guard, maybe Luke Kennard or some like Stanley Johnson or some other players like that, have Bruce Brown playing the one and having Reggie Jackson off the ball too. So we look for a little bit more creativity, but like I said, the big question and the one we don't really know how it's going to shake down is how Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond coexist offensively on the court together.
Did last year and limited amount of time, obviously, but and certainly other factors, different coaching, all that. But did last year make you optimistic about this year, or did it make you more pessimistic?
I think that Blake Griffin is more of a complete player than I knew. You see the Clippers play, you know, a couple times during the regular season, and then watch him in the playoffs a little bit. Obviously, the explosive is not there, and will never return to the heights they were very early in his career. But I think that he talked about having the first off season in 3 years that he's been able to basically work on his game as much as he wants to. He had a whole crew. Noah LaRoche, the trainer, was his in the offseason that he brought in, and a whole crew of dummy defenders that helped him out that were Division III players or past Division III players as well. So he's had everything he wanted to do, and a lot of it's that read recognition type of stuff where he wants to, on the fly, make the right decisions to become that hub, to become that offensive playmaker. So I think seeing Blake Griffin, and like I said, maybe Pistons fans were probably a little bit dismayed at time to see that, the dunks aren't there, the high rising isn't there. And maybe at times you thought that you maybe sold a bill of goods as far as a guy that might be a little bit of a lemon. But with the 3-point shooting that he added last season, you expect that to get even better. There were stretches where he was about a 40% 3-point shooter, small stretches, but he was more of a 34% shooter throughout the season. So if that improves, if he's still a playmaker and continues to evolve that throughout the year as well, I would say more optimistic because, again, Andre Drummond added a lot of energy to his game last season. He had a deviated septum procedure that he had to unclog everything in his nose, and it was kind of one of those funny storylines that really ended up being correct, that he had a lot more energy, obviously, on the court and somehow turned himself into one of the worst free throw shooters of all time to, still not very good, but 60% is something you can live with, and you can have him on the court at end of game. So answer to your question is, I think, excited, even though the results weren't there because Reggie Jackson was out and Blake Griffin, the sample size was small, and the team was pretty much out of the playoff picture right away after they required him anyway.
What is a thing about this Pistons team, be it a player, be it a storyline, be it something Dwayne Casey might do, that you think is an underrated aspect of the Pistons' potential success this season?
I don't know that there's a lot of people around the league, first of all, that know how good Reggie Bullock was last year for the Pistons as a starter, as the off guard. At times, for a big chunk of the season, he led the NBA in 3-point percentage, kind of tailed off a little bit at the end, but this is a classic guy who's going to knock down the open shots. He moves the ball offensively, which is an underrated skill that doesn't get talked about a lot. He's not pounding the ball into the ground like a guy like Reggie Jackson. He moves the ball around and forces defense to move with that very quickly. And then, he can make a play if he needs to, but he's not a guy who needs to get a certain amount of field goal attempts up a game. So I don't know that he makes a huge stride going forward, but as far as things around the league that people don't know, Bullock's that guy. As far as a guy who might make that leap and will need to make that leap for the Pistons to be very good, not only Stanley Johnson's offensive game, he needs to find more consistency. He needs to be able to knock down the three-pointers at a better clip, or else Glenn Robinson's going to get a lot of his minutes. But I think Luke Kennard, everyone talks about how Luke Kennard isn't Donovan Mitchell because Mitchell could have been picked by the Pistons there at his spot at number 12, but instead Stan Van Gundy picked Kennard, and that turned him into some of a punchline around the league on Twitter. But the fact is, he had a really good rookie season. Sure, he's not Donovan Mitchell and never will be, but he's a guy who's not only can knock down the three-pointer, but a little bit more crafty and a little bit more facets to the game offensively than maybe it was advertised. He's a playmaker, and he's a guy who can be a really good bench scorer for this team. And he's not as horrible as a defender as he was maybe advertised at times, passable as long as he's not being asked to do too much on the defensive end. But he's got to really make strides for these Pistons. They need more. They spend so much money on those top three guys that not only do Blake and Reggie have to be healthy, which is a big ask in and of itself, but they've got to find production from some of those younger guys to really take those steps forward.
What is your optimism and or opinion of where Andre Drummond is around? To me, he seems like the I know Blake maybe has the bigger name, but I kind of think of Drummond as the face of this organization, the face of this team. He's the younger. He's got a better health track record. Where is he at right now? Is he someone that could? Do you think he's someone that could elevate his game and sort of maybe make up for other deficiencies that could, and then maybe get the Pistons into the playoffs to some degree, or at least get them close.
Yeah, I think that the thing about Andre Drummond that I've really noticed, if you look at the overall picture of his career and his offseason, I think that he's a guy who's a lot more comfortable in his skin right now. And I know that sounds a little strange, but he's one of those big guys, a little bit oafish coming into the league, and he missed all the free throws. It became such a punchline, and you can imagine what that's like to compound that problem night in and night out, have fans laughing at you and knowing that you can't hit those free throws. Hackadre starts, your coach puts you on the bench, rightfully so, late in games, because you just can't be out there. So for him to make those free throws last year, even though it's only a 60% clip, that was enough for him to gain that confidence. And now I just kind of see him kind of growing into himself as a human being. He released a rap album this past offseason. He's the guy who's joking around with reporters more. He's kind of become, in a weird way, which is unexpected from where he was several years ago, the vocal guy on this team, kind of the guy who's the vocal leader of this group, which, like I said, is hard to believe from where he was as a 19-year-old when he was drafted. He's made the All-Star games. I feel like he's getting a little bit of respect around the league. Some of the better players around the league talk about him as one of the top big men. If he can turn the corner and become maybe a little bit better off defensively, turn from an average player to a slightly above average player, or even more on that end. And I don't know if this has got around to Cleveland fans, if they've realized that this is as big of a national story as it is here in Detroit. But Andre Drummond, who was one of the worst free throw shooters in NBA history just a year ago, is shooting and making three-pointers this offseason. He made one in the scrimmage that they had in Ann Arbor the other day. And he's talking about putting up a lot of threes this year. And I know that first blush, that makes you laugh, and it makes a lot of Pistons fans frustrated to even think about that. But if he's able to do that and continues to add those facets to his game, it could be a guy who makes another step or two forward over these next few years. And I agree with you. He's the best player on the Pistons and the one with the best kind of potential. Blake obviously being the offensive best player and probably the focal point of the offense on this team. But I think Andre Drummond is more valuable, especially when you consider that he's 25 years old and does have some room to improve over these next few years too.
Do you buy the 3-point shooting as a real thing? Because that was my next question, but I just don't know if me personally, like, will believe that it's real until I see it for like a quarter of the season.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, you can't just take it for face value, and just because a guy is standing there knocking down threes in a video on Instagram doesn't mean you can believe that it's going to be something that happens. And I was there. I went to a closed practice for season ticket holders the other day at Michigan, and he did some 3-point shooting competitions, and it was him against Zaza, matched up on one basket. And, you know, it looks okay. It looks all right. But, I mean, he's not making them at the clip that you would expect a player that's going to be relying that as far as a really good weapon that he's going to have in his arsenal. He knocked down 1 of 4 during the full scrimmage on Saturday. But, yeah, I agree with you. There's no way you can take it at face value and say just because he said so and just because he says he's putting up 1,000 shots a day in the offseason and he's hitting them at 40%. I don't know that I agree with either of those numbers that he offered up to the media the other day. And maybe they're true and maybe he'll show us all wrong. But, again, we'll doubt it until we see it. But we said the same things that as Pistons followers last year, we said, if Andre Drummond could only make 45% of his free throws, we would be so happy with that. Well, he did that and he did it a lot more than that. So if he can do anything close to that and put up three pointers at a respectable margin and he's able to knock them down, there won't be anyone in Detroit telling him not to do that.
Wrap it up on this. I'm going to ask you two questions, put you on the spot a little bit, and we're going to see what your gut take tells you. Number one, do the Pistons make the playoffs, yes or no? And if they do, what seed? And number two, power rank the teams in the Central Division starting with number one to the very bottom.
Okay, so first of all, with the playoffs with the Pistons, I say that, yes, they are going to be in the playoffs. I think that if you look at the list of the Vegas win total expectancy, they're right at 8 there. I'm going to put them at number 7, though. I'm going to put them ahead of the Miami Heat. I just see that at some point, and I know that we respect the Heat and respect the culture and everything they do, but I just, at some point, I don't see. First of all, I think that I'm a little bit more optimistic of the Pistons being a slightly over 500 team, and I think that that's enough to get you to the 7 seed, but I see a little bit of regression. I didn't like what I saw, from Hassan Whiteside and what the status of his situation is in Miami right now. So I see maybe a little bit of a step back with that team. But with the Central Division, I'm going to go a little bit against the Vegas projections in that I'm going to go with Milwaukee ahead of Indiana for number one. So Milwaukee being my number one team in the Central, Indiana being number two, and then a pretty big drop off of a few games at the end of 82 to Detroit at number three. And I will differ with I will stay with what Vegas says, because I believe that Cleveland's number four and Chicago's number five, although I think there's just a game separating their over and under win-loss totals from Las Vegas. But I'm going to stick with that, say Cleveland at number four and Chicago at number five. I maybe would have flip-flopped those with Chicago at number four, but the Lauri Markkanen injury is going to put them a little bit behind the eight ball to begin the season. And just defensively, when you throw Jabari Parker and Zach LaVine out there for extended minutes possibly together, and Markkanen's another guy who's not great by any means defensively, and LaVine and Parker are just straight up bad on that end, I just don't see that they have the offensive firepower to overcome. They're going to be a good offensive team, but they don't have the offensive firepower to overcome just how bad that defense is going to be.
I'm right there with you. I feel the Pistons are in the playoffs as well. I think, I don't know what seed I'm going to guess. Eight is where I'm going to end up kind of having them as I kind of round up my predictions. But I think you're right on the division order, I think, as well. I would put Indiana number one and then go Milwaukee, but the rest of it is right to me. But if Kevin Love gets hurt in game 10, which possible considering his history, I think there's a good chance the Cavs get worse, just because at least the Bulls with their personnel should be able to score, I would think. And I just don't know if we can say that about the Cavs. But Matt, yeah, thanks so much,
Chris,
for
coming on. Yeah, I will interrupt you, and I will agree with you on that. Although, like I said, I do believe that the Cavs finished slightly ahead of Chicago. I do think that there is a chance that, like you said, maybe a Kevin Love injury, or maybe Kevin Love not quite being that player, or maybe guys not stepping up to be the second and third best players, and the young players that you project going forward. There's a chance that Cleveland might be very bad this season, that they might be in the discussion for one of the top draft picks going forward. Like I said, I'm not predicting that, but I think that there is, I guess the opposite of upside would be downside. So there's a lot of downside with Cleveland this year if things don't go right. But I think that they will be, one of the average teams out in the East.
It is worth noting that the Cavs, I think, if in terms of their long-term health as a franchise, if any Pistons fans are kind of listening to this and thinking about this, and think about what the Cavs look like long-term versus the Pistons' long-term track. The Cavs are a top 10 protected pick to the Hawks one of the next 2 years, and then it conveys to two seconds. They should be trying to be bottom 10. I'm not sure that they're trying to do that, but who really knows right now?
And thanks again to Chris Manning of Locked On Cavs for taking the time to do those interviews. I wanted to share those with you guys. Like I talked about earlier, a special treat for the listeners of Locked On Pistons. As you've heard me talk about, Detroit Sports Collectibles at 661 South Main in Clawson is one of our advertisers, one of our beloved advertisers, Jim and Ann. They are there at 661 South Main, just south of 14 Mile in Clawson. And I got a giveaway for you guys. In addition to 10% off your order for telling Jim and Ann that you heard about the store on Locked On Pistons, we got some t-shirts. I got two t-shirts that are sitting up there, and I will take these over to them sometime on Friday. So they'll be there this weekend, Saturday, 11 to 6. So go ahead up there on Saturday. The first two people that go up there and make an order and get 10% off, that tell them about Locked On Pistons, will be given a free Locked On Pistons t-shirt. And we got some other t-shirts here that we're going to be using for some giveaways, maybe some of the meetups that we're going to do during the season as well. But the first two that are going to be available to listeners are there right now. As you listen to this on Friday, they're going to be there first thing Saturday. So go Saturday, make a purchase with Jim and Anna, the Detroit Sports Collectibles, and get your shirt. If it's the wrong size that you need, just let me know, and we'll exchange it somehow. But just go up there and get the shirt, first of all. They're great shirts. They're gray. They're very comfortable. They got the Locked On Pistons logo on there. So just a free giveaway for whoever goes up there and makes a great purchase over at Detroit Sports Collectibles in Clawson, 661 South Main Street, just south of 14 Mile. And thanks, you guys, for populating their store and supporting the people who support us here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. This is your host, Matt Shook, saying thank you and have a great weekend. And we're inching closer to the regular season of the NBA for the Detroit Pistons. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon, guys.